You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So a former teammate of Deshaun Watson says that he thinks that Deshaun would like to end up in Denver. Who do you think that teammate is?
Kareem Jackson.
That's correct. Yeah. And he's looks at
now, Kareem Jackson talks, I listen. Kareem's not a
no, and,
guy
and,
who does a lot of talking.
And Kareem is in the Deshaun clique.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kareem says, I see all the tweets. Just know I'm working on it. Smiling face. He tweeted that out.
Well, yeah.
Is he the Broncos general manager? What does he mean he's working on it?
Well,
what's he going to do?
That's true.
What's he going to do?
Well, no, Sean, put the Broncos on your list. The list doesn't mean nothing until you got some. Who are you giving up?
Yeah.
We'll start with Noah Fant. Right?
Yeah. And you throw in Drew Lock. No, you gotta get a quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
then
he's
who?
A throw in.
Then who are you?
Don't forget, you're on a rookie deal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Or you draft at 9 a quarterback, which is where Denver is located right now.
Which might be a
well, but pick. How about you just get Drew Lock and then you start building a defense?
I have like Justin Fields available.
How about one of the historically worst defenses in NFL history?
Would you draft you Justin Fields at 9? Or if there was Justin Fields on the because in my mock draft, Justin Fields is still available, and I think Trey Lance is too. But if you have a chance to draft Justin Fields or let's just say Pat Surtain. If he were available, who would you draft? Pat Surtain is the cornerback from Alabama.
Well, who do I have? Do I have Drew Lock too?
Yeah.
That okay. If I've got Drew Lock already, then I would draft Pat Surtain.
Okay.
But if I don't have Drew Lock, then I would draft Justin Fields.
Let's say
because I'm not sure Justin Fields is going to be better than Drew Lock.
No, I'm not either. But it still doesn't make it good enough.
No, it's not.
Oh no, I see what you're saying. Yeah, if you. Well, it depends on what the Texans say.
Listen, I like Drew Lock's
arm. Okay, so if you have Drew
Lock's arm talent is
spectacular. Yeah, but he's always had that.
Yeah.
Does he have the mental makeup?
You never know
when
he's going to catch on. Are you sure Patrick Mahomes? Well, Patrick Mahomes caught on right away. But are you sure that there's no point that Drew Lock's not going to catch on?
I tell you
on?
What, against the best teams, Drew Lock was not good in college. Like, he never rose to the occasion.
Are you sure to Pat Mahomes?
Go
was?
Look at Pat Mahomes. He had some big games against some good teams. I mean, it was Big 12.
Yeah.
And the other guy played
in
the SEC.
And their defenses.
Big and the other guy, defenses. And the other guy played in the SEC. So he faced a little tougher competition.
You think?
But I'm not as sure as Drew Lock.
I'm not either. No. But I'm not sure about Justin Fields either.
No, but that's my question is, would you take him if he were there? Would you take defensive help? If you had Drew Lock, yeah, you'd take defensive help.
Dude.
If you don't, I don't know that
honestly,
you still don't take.
Honestly, the stats that ESPN put up last week. Of this is historically bad defense.
The Texans. Yeah.
Historically bad.
I got to go look at their defensive front, but I would want Noah Fant as a young pass catcher, or even Jerry Jeudy, who's a pass dropper, but still. And then a defensive player, and then pick number 9, and then your first round pick next year. Give me a young wide receiver, either Noah Fant or Jerry Jeudy. Give me a young defensive player, and once again, I need to go through their roster and see.
Let's continue the trend of acquiring or trying to acquire your old assets back. Go get AJ Bouye back in here. I would just laugh. Isn't he a Bronco? Or
how about Bradley Chubb?
Bradley Chubb, AJ Bouye, and then first rounders.
AJ.
What, you don't want a cornerback?
No.
Oh yeah, Justin Fields' agent is David Mulligetta.
Oh, you ain't drafting him then?
No. That's probably a deal breaker.
No. How about Josie Jewell?
No, I don't want a 4'8 linebacker. What is this, Clemson?
Well, that's what I'm pretty sure, Jack.
What, are you trying to build a Clemson defense?
You'd be perfect for the Texans with the thoughts about Texans.
Then just go draft Skowski in the 5th or 6th.
The thought about what the Texans organization is, Josie Jewell would be perfect.
Tell it to all the black coaches that are now in the building.
I know.
That showed you.
Yeah.
What do you mean the Texans organization? Don't you see what that coach's roster looks like? How dare you, sir?
Actually, the whole roster. that narrative is a little weird. I don't want Josie Jewell. Like I said, I want somebody who can run and play good defense.
Oh, you're looking for that on your roster?
Why do you want a lot of
guys
that
can run and tackle and play good defense?
Saints.
Hmm.
No offense to Josie Jewell, who's a tackle machine in college, but not really a guy who can run.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
When you see the 4.840, back to me when he runs on a 4.6.
What's his play speed, Lance?
Back to me in the 4.6s.
What's his play speed? I don't care about what
he's got. Good play speed in college.
What about the
against college game? He's got good.
What about his reaction time?
It's very good in college.
Yeah. Is he a great studier? Is he a gym rat?
Yeah. Is he a coach's kid?
He's got the high score on the Pac-Man tackle machine all the time.
Is he a great route runner?
No, he's a linebacker.
Yeah, he didn't run routes.
Look, females talking about
routes. Well, you sound like one asking if a linebacker.
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes.
Speaking of that, wasn't a great day for happy girls and women in sports.
What happened?
The Mary called in about the NWHL. Yep. Their finals got canceled because of COVID.
Straight out of Compton. I remember when they released that album.
No, I didn't say NWA. I said NWHL.
Oh,
I got a text as I was cooking lunch.
Razor Ramon.
No. I got a text as I was cooking lunch. Like, what is this? I don't want to click on this. What's this random link? Oh, the NWHL got canceled. Mary was so sad.
Why did they get canceled?
Oh, COVID stuff.
And on Girls and Women's Day in sports.
Yeah, their finals got canceled because of COVID.
Their finals that nobody was.
Okay, see, so David.
You don't have to add that on, John. Did I add that on?
Nobody knew about. See? So Mary called it.
By the way, do you still have the?
Yes, I am though.
No.
Do you still have the Dave? Do you still have David Shaw's Goldie Pipes' song about Daryl Morey and James Harden? Do you still have that song by any chance?
No.
Okay. It's brilliant. If you didn't hear it, what was everything I do it for James.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Goldie Pipes, text and he said, I'm a 44-year-old black dude that's very Afro-conscious. When I read Favre's take, the first thing that came to my mind was, old-ass Brett Favre is on some back-in-my-day-ish. Didn't see any racial connotations. He's hypocritical because he raised hell on his way out, too. Now, see, I respect that, the fact that that's, because I agree, this is a generational issue. Everything is a generational issue right now.
Mm-hmm.
The back-in-my-day crew, which I'm, you know, a part of. I mean, I see things that I don't like with my kids and with my kids' generation of doing things a certain way that I definitely know is not better. But it is a generational thing, and I think there were too many people, at least that I saw on Twitter, who made, you know, holy hell about a quarterback speaking on a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But it's a quarterback from back in the day speaking on a quarterback now. And
Brett Favre.
Yeah, like, why can't a veteran quarterback not have his opinion? It shouldn't get people all in a – it shouldn't get them feeling some type of way because an older quarterback said, we didn't do this back in my day. So what? This is the first guy that has said this in sports?
Mm-hmm.
No.
But you – man, I would at least be upset with the – but you did do this. You did this. You weren't the good soldier either.
He's probably
he
was.
It's definitely not exactly the same. But the sentiment of not being the good soldier. Now, he played out his contract, and ultimately that's the card that he can play. Is like, what are you talking? When did I ask to get out of there?
No, they traded him because he was being a pain in the ass.
They traded him because he retired while he still had years left.
Yeah,
on his contract.
Came back because they didn't release him. They didn't let him out, so he retired. Came back and then continued to be a pain.
Two years,
they traded him.
At least 2 years with Aaron Rodgers behind him. And I can't remember if it got into the third year when Aaron finally came in, when he got hurt. We were at Nick's place and the Cowboys, they were playing the Cowboys, and Aaron Rodgers got in when Brett was hurt. But Brett didn't get hurt a whole lot. Well, he got hurt, but he didn't miss games very often. But, I just don't think it's a big deal. Honestly, I kind of read it the same way David did, like, older player talking about this is the way that when we played, we didn't do this. That's the way I read it. For people to get so upset and salty about it, older players are always going to speak. If you ask them a question, they're going to speak on a young player's business because they used to play the game too. He's in the Hall of Fame. That guy's got a bust.
He played 3 years fully after Aaron Rodgers was drafted, 05, 06, 07.
Damn, Aaron Rodgers sat for ever.
Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years, but Aaron Rodgers came in that third year, though.
Brett Favre started 16 games in that third year.
Yeah, no, but he got hurt in the Cowboy game.
Well, was it a playoff game?
No.
Because Brett Favre is credited with a 13-3 year in 07.
Well, it would have been a loss to the Cowboys. If that's when it – wait, that was 07?
Yeah. He played 16, started 16.
Might have been – yeah, because that's when I came to 56. It might have been – yeah. It might have been 07 when he was
in
there.
The time that Aaron Rodgers was a – when he got drafted, Brett Favre started 16 games 3 years in a row, and then the next year he was a Jet.
He went to the Jets and then the Vikings.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because he went to the Vikings as revenge.
To stick the shit in.
Yeah. All right. Let's get Johnny in here on ESPN 97.5. He's on the HRMP listener line. What do you say, Johnny?
My mock draft just dropped.
Oh, no.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What'd you say, Johnny?
How you doing,
Johnny?
Possible landing spot for Deshaun Watson, and I don't know if it would even work, but it seems like a mutual type thing. What about Deshaun and Carson Wentz? Contracts are not far off. Both of them went out of their organization through the grapevine, Deshaun Watson, but I mean, I don't know how it will work with the Texans wanting first round picks or picks. But I mean, it seems like it would be mutual on both sides as far as the players. I don't know how the money would work, and I'm not sure about how the front office would handle it. But I mean, it would possibly make both of them happy.
Well,
what do you
think?
I'll hush and listen.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny. I don't think you care about making the players happy in this instance. Would it make the both players happy? Yeah, probably. Although, you know,
you do have to make Deshaun happy. You can't send him somewhere he doesn't want
to
go.
Yeah, if Deshaun doesn't want to go to the Eagles,
right. So it's got to be
irrelevant.
Yeah.
But so every potential trade has to be Deshaun approved. Now, here's why this really – so here's the problem, Johnny. You take a $22 million cap hit just for trading Deshaun Watson. He keeps your $27 million signing bonus that you gave him, playing no games for you. And then you have to take on Carson Wentz's contract coming off of one of the worst years in the league for a quarterback.
Is there any way you can do this after June 1st when it's only a $5 million hit?
For Watson?
Yeah. Now it's just over $5 million what cap hit would be.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, then yeah.
After
absolutely.
June 1st. But then you don't get the draft.
You don't get your draft now, but you'd still get him in the future.
Yeah. If it's after June 1st, it's just over $5 million.
It may have to happen like that.
Yeah.
Because you just can't take that kind of cap hit.
Yeah. No. $20 million is a big.
You just can't.
Especially when you're 17 over already.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have a chance to maneuver in free agency.
Yep. And traded after June 1st, $5.4 million of 2021 dead cap, $10.54 million saved, $16.2 million of 2022 dead cap. $24.2 million saved to the Texans. So it goes over 2 years. It's five this year and 16 next year.
What now?
Yeah.
You sure that's
yeah,
the
it,
savings?
It is,
or
because
that's
why
it
it's so much less is because you can spread it out over 2 years.
Oh, but after June 1st. No, you take the hit the next year.
The $5 million this year, 16 next year.
So it allows you maneuver, but then next year is a little tougher.
Yeah.
Although I think I don't see any contracts that are going to kill you now.
No, you'll be in
Watson
a better,
would be
better
gone
shape.
In that scenario, and yeah,
you'll be.
I think you almost
of course,
would have
not
to
if
do
you
it.
Take on Wentz's.
No, and that's the problem. Yeah. If you take on Wentz's contract, listen, guys, there is no comparison between Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz. One guy was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league last year. Granted, he's been better in the past, but he was absolutely terrible last year. He's got a lot of interceptions.
No, he's bad. He's just
got
terrible.
No confidence right now. And one guy is an MVP candidate. This isn't even close.
No.
Like, they have to pay you to take Carson Wentz.
Yeah, but what did Brett Favre say about Carson Wentz?
He said, great young man.
Then, all right, then. Let's get the great young man.
You know what? And speak up. He said, speak up. I haven't heard enough of you.
Yeah. Hey, man, you're in a bad situation. They benched you for that Jalen Hurts fella. Yeah.
He said, hashtag stand your ground.
Stand your ground.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Andre said?
Stand your ground. Yeah.
I don't think Brett Favre would have said that. He would ask,
isn't that what Trump told the Proud Boys?
See, no, I think it was stand down. I don't know what.
Stand down.
Something like that.
Maybe that's what Brett Favre was saying. Stand down.
And stand by.
Stand by.
Deshaun Watson, stand by.
8:14 ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It is Thursday, which means it's SHRP Thursdays here on ESPN 97.5. Sam Houston Race Park Thursday. It's Sam Houston Race Park Thursday. We're giving away a pair of tickets in every show to see all the action live during the 27th annual Thoroughbred Racing season. Live racing begins at 6:45 p.m. on Friday and Saturday night. Every Friday night, enjoy $2 long necks and $2 wines. COVID-19 protocols will be strictly observed. So caller 8 at 820 to 713-780-3776 wants a pair of tickets to Sam Houston Race Park. Get your wagers in as early as possible. Visit shrp.com for more info. Caller 8 at 820 wins those tickets.
But we went Saturday night to the races. Had a good time. Ate the buffet. It was good. The grilled chicken is really good. They had some collard greens. They had a nice blueberry pie afterwards, and with ice cream. Nice. It was nice. And we had, oh my God. So there was a horse called Shakalakalaka.
So you got a fire on that.
I was going through the program, and I go, look at this horse, Shakalakalaka. I was like, Shakalakalaka.
Why were you
horse.
There?
We just went to go bet on the horse.
Having some good time.
Just a good time?
Yeah. No, I wondered because Fred said that there was a huge, like, it was the biggest day of horse racing in the country on Sunday.
On Sunday was.
Saturday
was crowded. Saturday was crowded.
I have fun at the horse
track. Yeah, no. We had a great time. We ate there. We bet on, it was a lot of fun. So I'm going Shakalakalaka. The first two races go off and the third race comes. I don't bet Shakalakalaka. Guess who wins? Shakalakalaka wins. I'm like, what the shnikes? I was betting. I'm looking at it instead of going. So finally, the tenth race comes. I'm missing on all these horses that I know I should, because I'm handicapping. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm handicapping. Yeah, oh no, this
you're grinding.
Horse. I was grounded.
You're grinding.
Grinding. So I go, screw that. My mom liked Shirley Temple. Shirley's Temple, the one horse, goes off at 13-1. I fire on it. Guess who won?
Shirley Temple.
Shirley's Temple.
That's how I did. I've got something from a thing that we did where I say where some woman won some tournament thing where she picked all these winners of the tournament. She won like $1 million. And it's from our 6-10 days where I say it's always – the people just, at the horse track, like Peggy's Rose, my dog's name is Peggy. And I said, the guys chomping on cigars, grinding on stuff, they don't hit like the mom in Wisconsin and Kenosha who nails who nails a superfecta because she just randomly picked names.
So randomly picks names. So my wife, her mom.
My wife.
She's next. Okay, tell me all the names of the horse. Kind of horses.
Tell me all the names.
You know, it's superficial and blah blah blah. And I go, Can I Bob? And she goes, Can I Bob? Done. Bet on Can I Bob.
Yeah.
I was like, why?
Obviously.
Because my mom used to tell my dad she went out with a guy named Can I when she was younger. I should have married Can I. That's who I should have married, and not you.
That's
so she bet on Can I Bob. Guess who won? Can I Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get this. We go to the Kentucky Derby one year. Unbelievable. The most unbelievable. We go to the Kentucky Derby. We're all betting. Blah, 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 blah. The big race comes. The Derby comes. And in comes this horse, and it wins. And it's ridden by Calvin Burrell. And we didn't bet on it. I'm with Yanni, and Yanni just will take. He'll throw money. Are you kidding me? Yes. Calvin Burrell is my wife's cousin. We didn't bet on my wife's cousin. And he won the race and paid huge money. It was Calvin Burrell who won his first Derby. And it was like a huge upset.
Stanley Burrell, the sprinter.
No. Calvin Burrell, the jockey.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a movie about Calvin Burrell coming from Louisiana and all of his hardships and how he won. He ended up winning the Kentucky Derby. We were at that race and didn't bet on him. And Wendy goes, wait a minute.
You didn't bet on
Calvin Burrell just won? That's my cousin. And what Yanni was like, are you crazy? Your cousin is in this race and you didn't bet on him? Are you kidding me? She goes, well, I didn't know he was in the race. You didn't know your cousin.
Look at the jockeys. Like, I'm not handicapping. No. I'm just picking names.
I'm just picking names. That's all.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. And was so she calls her mom. Mom, who is a Burrell. She's a Burrell. She goes, Mom, I'm at the Kentucky. Her mom called her. Said, did you see Calvin won? Calvin won. She goes, Mom, I'm here. She goes, well, go down and see him. Well, Mom, I don't know that they're going to let me go down. I'm going to say, I'm Calvin's cousin.
You see one little Calvin one.
Yeah.
Do they call him little Calvin?
No, he's just Calvin. Yeah. He's old Calvin now.
It is strange in real life. There's two things that are very jarring. When you're just walking through like an HEB and you see somebody 6'10", you know, that's not something you see every day. It is jarring, right? Yeah. It is jarring. When you see somebody 6'10", it's like, whoa. Because, you know, you don't see that often.
Right.
It's very – somebody 6'10 is super tall. And then when you see a little – I'm not saying like little, I see a
how
little
he,
person.
How he gets it through this, okay. Navigates this
okay.
One, though.
Watch me. I'm not saying a little person, but I'm saying like a jockey size. Like our friend Rusty, who used to be our producer.
He was little.
Yeah, he was a little guy. Like when you see somebody jockey size, this isn't going to come off great, but – I always wonder, like, where do basketball – I don't in my life see 6'10 guys, but they have them all over the NBA, right?
Yeah.
They have them all over the NBA, but I don't see them in my regular life. Not a lot of those guys are born. There's not a ton of 6'9", 6'10", 7-foot guys, but there's not a ton of 4'11 guys either.
No.
Or 5-foot tall guys either.
Right, that are skinny.
And I don't see them.
Right.
And yet jockeys all over the place.
Well, you don't hang out at the jockey bar.
No.
Right?
No, I don't know of a jockey bar, but
well, I'm sure they go somewhere and have
drinks. Is it kind of like the Everton crew? Like, well, like if you're a Leicester City fan, you go here. If you're a Penn State fan, you go to Knicks or whatever.
Yeah, and if you're
a jockey, you all go to the same bar?
No. I would imagine like a cop bar. You ever go to,
you know,
where
a
bunch of cops hang
bar?
Out? Yeah, I would imagine. It's got to be somewhere near
in
the
every
racetrack.
So everywhere that has a track, there's probably a jockey
bar. Where guys go. Maybe you should go and
that
you can have fun just staring at people. I think because you like to look at them.
That would be kind of wild, though. If you're in a jockey bar, like, whoa.
Hey, man. And you walk in.
I've seen these people.
Look at me. Look, I should be in the NBA.
These little guys, like, riding horses. This is – how do y'all do that? Like, did y'all ride these horses and, like, oh, look at the fat ass coming in. They're like, I'm like, hey, little jockeys. Ooh, Mr. Tall Guy. Mr. Big Fat Tall Guy. Like, hey, that's
ugly.
Racist.
That's
you think jockeys are exclusionary? If you walked into their bar,
yeah, 100%.
Like a cop bar, they treat you like, oh.
Yeah, because they get hated on it, so they're like,
hey, let's all toss them across the room.
Yeah.
How would that be?
Hey, get the fuck out of here.
It's not called
I'm just here to have a drink,
it's
jockey.
It's not called jockey tossing.
What? I'm sorry, why did you call me?
Why would they
you
know what?
The J word, the writers.
You've been doing this stuff to us for years. Now you're going to do it to you?
Yeah.
It's not called jockey tossing.
Yeah.
It's not?
More, you know what? He can get away with saying that.
It's better than the alternative.
He's found a code word that he can use.
It's better than the alternative, yes.
Tall guy tossing.
How many would have to toss him?
How many jockey sized guys have you seen?
Not a lot.
No.
I don't know where they come from, honestly.
Yeah, it was funny when we were walking in, you know, the guys, he's wearing a jockey hat and he's bigger. He's big, kind of a big guy. And I was like, man, we got to see who he's racing. Don't bet on that horse.
I mean, to answer your question.
But he was just
how much
a guy.
You weighing?
He's one of the guys that leads the horses out.
How much
out.
You weighing? 136? Oh, no way.
No.
Jockey size.
Badass.
Jockey size guys in real life?
Yeah. You ever see them?
How do I put this? Where I've seen them.
Where?
You know, I go to a buffet, and the guys who bring out the food
Where is this buffet? Okay. What's the name of the buffet?
No, but they're Hispanic guys.
No. It's like Chinese Guatemalan buffet. Guys I know are also
Yes.
And the guys who bring out the food are smaller guys.
I'm not counting the Guatemalan guys who
are
smaller.
I don't know where they're from, but they're
just
smaller guys.
Just in general. Really? You ever been in a grocery? You ever been a Pizza King and seen a jockey guy walking around?
One of the guys who worked there was a little small guy.
I was talking to a guy the other day that was, he said, I spent a year in Japan. He was like, I was like a...
Oh, yeah.
It was like I was some kind of a...
So Brian,
I was so out of place
because
of how tall he was. 6'2" or so.
I knew a girl who went over for her an exchange trip years ago to Japan, and she's a blonde girl, and they all wanted to take pictures with her.
Yeah, that's what he said too. Everybody wanted to take a picture with me
because
I was like 6'2".
Yeah.
Brian Caswell, when he went to Thailand, he worked in Thailand as a chef for a while, and he's like 6'4", and he's like, I was like a rock star. I got the front row seat at the Thai kickboxing, the Thai kickboxing. He said the girls were like, he said it was being a 6'4" American. They thought that I was, the greatest athlete of all time.
When I went to the University of Barcelona, we had one of the guys in our group was blonde. I mean, bleach blonde. It was like everywhere we went. In Spain, there's not a lot of bleach blonde guys everywhere we went. And I just, hey, I'm not sure he likes you. Come over here.
She was 5'10 or 11. She played college basketball and blonde. And everyone was like, can we take a picture with you? You're so unique.
That's it. Unique was the word. Unique is the word. 828 ESPN 97.5. We'll get your calls in, guys, on the other side. 713-780-3776. Right now, it's GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. If you're looking for the best way to sell your car, GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's Sean Clay Wolf. You heard him. And right now, they're looking for newer cars because of the chip problem that's going on in the world. I don't know what he was talking about, but here's the deal, is if you have like a newish car, he said he's going to pay sticker value for it right now. That is unbelievable that you get all of your money back. That's basically, you've been driving your car for nothing. So why not even try? If you've got a newer car that you would like to sell, chances are you're going to get great value for it, and you can get yourself a brand new car. You win. Everybody wins. John Clay Wolf needs those cars. How about this? Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. Find out what that new car of yours, relatively new car of yours, is worth. Last 2-3 years. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. Sell him your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:30 ESPN 97.5, 8:31 now. 713-780-3776. Let's go to the HRNP listener line. Y'all got something to say. Jason is first up. What up, Jason?
Hey guys, I'm a normal average 5'9", 5'10", which is that previous segment. Just wanted to start off, I kind of heard what Lance said earlier, or maybe it was John, about Watson being able to use his no trade clause, but if we try to go, let's say, with the Jets, and we get them to take any of our trash players like Merciless or Murray, any of those contracts, or we gut them and take all their draft picks and take that guy from Alabama, Williams or Williamson, number 95. If Deshaun sees his trade, so Lance, does he have to waive it before they even start, like say, hey, we're trading you to the Jets? And he says, cool. Once they get with the Jets and show the deal, can Watson go back and say, nah, you're gutting the team. If I go there, I'm going to go 4-12 again. So does he have power over that once it's finalized, or he just says it at the beginning?
Yeah, I guess he can waive his the trade at any time, I would imagine. If he says yes, you can trade me to the Jets, I'll waive my trade clause. And which by the way, from what we're hearing, that's not the case. He ain't going to the Jets. Just so you know. But would it be before or after if he said, no, you can trade me to the Broncos? But then he sees the package that they're giving up for him, and he goes, wait a minute, you're gutting the team for me. I don't want to go there anymore.
Well, I mean, that's the – I think he's got to understand that anywhere that you go, they've got to be somewhere where they can absorb. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why if you get some quality players back, it's an easier sell because you say, we still got a certain amount of picks. We can still replace them. Or if you have salary cap room – you say we can still spend some money on free agency. Look, if you want to, get out of Houston or not?
Yeah.
Well,
guess what? They're going to have to give up a bunch for you.
We saw the mechanism with Justin Verlander. The Astros, right, had negotiated something with Detroit, and then Verlander had to be convinced to go to the Houston. So I believe, now it feels like a waste of time if you do it and then the player says, no, I don't want to go there. But in this example, you might imagine Deshaun would give him a list, but in the Detroit example, the Astros still tried to get a deal done, and then they had to talk Verlander into it. So I think that's what it would have to be. You want the deal in place, and then the player would have to say yes or no.
Right. And it could be the other way. You tell the player, hey, we're going to work with the Jets. Will you go there?
Yeah, that could happen.
That could happen. But then afterwards he sees, wow, look what they did.
I think the difference is there was a time crunch with the Verlander thing. There's no real time crunch right now with Deshaun. Like, they had to get a deal finalized, and then – it was probably easier to convince Verlander than it would have been to
get
a deal done late.
He's got all offseason. It's a time crunch for the Texans because they need to get it done before the draft.
Well, that's about, what, 2+ months away?
Yeah.
So, yeah, sure. But if Deshaun gives them the go-ahead and they actually decide they want to do it, because from all reports right now they're not, then you've got plenty of time, but you might need to actually talk to him first.
Yeah. Keith is here. What do you say, Keith?
Good morning, gentlemen. I got an NBA scenario for you, or James Harden scenario for you guys. I'd like to give you three choices in this scenario, and I would request that you pick one. I'll give you mine and a brief comment, then I'll hang up and listen to yours. So here it is. It's the 2021 NBA Finals, Game 7, Nets versus Lakers. Your first choice, I will be rooting for the Nets. Number two, I will be rooting for the Lakers. Number three, I don't care. I just want to see a good game. Now, my head says number three, but my heart says number two. I don't think it's okay to hold a grudge in real life. When it comes to sports, I'm okay with it. I'll be rooting for the Lakers. Thanks, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
I agree with everything you said. Sports grudges are okay if they're – now, see, I never thought the Carlos Beltran thing made a lot of sense for people to hold grudges against him necessarily.
No. No, I thought it was –
I mean, it's like, did you hold the same grudge against Randy Johnson? It was the same kind of deal.
Left, yeah.
But
right. They were booing him.
Cheering? Who are you cheering? Or you don't care?
No, I do care. It's a lose-lose for me.
Oh, yeah, because of the Jordan thing too.
Yeah. I don't like LeBron. I dislike LeBron. I dislike James Harden.
Well, then
this is a terrible scenario.
No,
Game 7.
Then you're going Nets. Your mind will eventually take over for Nets.
Yeah, probably Nets. It would take over Nets.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that. Right off the bat, I'm saying Lakers.
Do you guys believe now the way that they played? Holy crap! Against the Clippers, my goodness. That game, they were all great, plus Joe Harris. But their defense is so piss poor. Do you believe in this Nets team?
Your flaws get exacerbated over a 7-game series where a team can drill down on you. I mean, the Nets have talent to play like that in a regular season game, but their defensive deficiencies, if they don't get corrected, a team can exploit those over a 7-game series.
I suppose they go cold too.
Yeah, these are. I'm
suppose look, James gets into a strip club.
Well, that's a thing that's possible. I mean, there's a meme on Twitter going around about how Stephen A. Smith was killing the Nets for their performance the day before, and then he's talking about, oh, that team's going to the finals because they beat the Clippers a one game scenario. So you know, that's the same team who blew a lead to the Wizards, right?
Right.
So I don't take much from it other than, yeah, the Nets are talented, but will they be able to correct their fatal flaw when the playoffs start against a really good team?
Especially in a seven-game series.
Where it's over and over.
Have we seen
pick you apart.
Anything like this? I mean, those Nuggets teams that could score, the Phoenix teams that could score, the Rockets teams that could, you know, the 65-win team.
That team played pretty good defense, though. They were much better than this Nets team.
Yeah.
The Nets team is historically bad.
Team is historically bad.
Yeah, the Rockets.
Like, Golden State played defense.
Yeah, it was one of their
calling
cards.
Could score at will. But, like, the old Nuggets teams, Doug Moe Nuggets teams, or D'Antoni's Suns.
I think the biggest thing with this is those teams didn't have three what appears to be Hall of Famers on the roster like this. And apparently not giving a damn about playing defense. And they have a young coach who we don't know has a defensive player, and his top assistant is a guy who didn't care about defense either. So how is that going to get corrected? It's going to have to be player driven, but I mean, effort will be there for the finals, but they're just bad. I mean, the finals for the playoffs, but they're just bad.
Yeah.
I don't know if the principles are going to get fixed when it matters.
Dream Shake makes a good point. They're just starting now. Might take them 30 games. It took, how long did it take the Heat to play?
They weren't ever bad defensively. It wasn't like they were.
No, right.
This is a team who has decided they don't care.
They might clamp down come postseason. Yeah.
No, I think they'll get better, but they just have some deficiencies, period, that are not going to make them a top defensive team. They may just be a team who is so good offensively that being a middle defensive team is enough.
It'll be fun if it's Lakers-Nets, that's for sure.
Will it? You want really want
no,
to watch?
No, I don't. I don't. The, you know, I don't give a rat's ass about either team. And a matter of fact, I dislike both teams. But let's face it, they're two juggernauts.
They're star power wise, but they're both two dislikable teams.
Yes, yes.
I mean, even generically speaking,
KD is Irving is James is unlikable. LeBron is unlikable. Anthony Davis is just
he has a black mark on the resume. The whole I'm not going to play in New Orleans. Get me out of here. He one DeSean'd of those two. It. Yeah. I don't think
I think it's going to be called Deshaun in it.
I mean, for the NBA, they love it. L.A., New York, the two star powers. But as far as just – you can find ways to dislike both those teams.
Anthony Davis did exactly what Deshaun is doing is pulling in Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis decided he would sit out, basically. But this is what this is this is pulling in Anthony Davis. This isn't any other – this doesn't have anything to do with Brett Favre. It doesn't have anything to do with – I can't think of anything else other than Anthony Davis, an outstanding player on a lesser team who just says, you know what, I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to wait for free agency, and I want to try to make it work where I can get out of here. The difference is the NFL is not the NBA, and it's also harder to build a team. And it takes forever to get a good quarterback, but it probably takes forever to get a superstar too.
Well, not if you're the right city. It takes Minnesota forever. It takes Orlando forever. It takes, you know, the right city, like Milwaukee. It took forever.
Yeah.
It took forever, but they got him now, you know, mm-hmm. Because they drafted.
Does Utah
right,
have
they
one?
Drafted right.
You think Donovan Mitchell's superstar?
Well, Shaq doesn't.
Well, Donovan Mitchell's up there pretty high. Yeah. I would say Donovan Mitchell's Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad comparison.
I mean, I actually think people like to put Watson probably a little higher than what he actually is so far from a performance standpoint. And people like to downgrade Watson. But, dude, I'm not Watson, but Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is legit. Donovan Mitchell is a really good player. Deshaun is a really good player. I think they're actually a pretty good
comparison.
Having
not won anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they win.
But, right.
They win, but not like they haven't reached a pinnacle. But if you ask teams who wants Donovan Mitchell, oh, my gosh. It'd be fist fights over Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Same way with Deshaun.
But Donovan Mitchell appears – Donovan Mitchell did just sign an extension. Wasn't done. And so far, he hasn't said anything about leaving, but you never know. But his team isn't run poorly. I mean, he even had the Rudy Gobert thing and seemed to get over it. So.
Rudy Gobert just yesterday was talking about how they got over it and how they fixed the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good duo. Are they going to win anything?
No. Rudy Gobert's not good enough.
Is Deshaun going to win anything here? No. Nah. You know, they've got to draft really well. Like in New York, Brooklyn, you can put this together. In L.A., you can put this together. On two different teams in L.A., you can put guys together, superstars together.
But the Brooklyn thing was made. Now, they might have all gone there anyway. But Brooklyn was made more attractive than the Knicks as their counterpart when KD was deciding, because he saw how well they were run.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they made that. They didn't make a run, but they were a playoff team with a bunch of guys who were like, okay.
Yeah.
Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, good players, but not stars. And they put that together after that awful trade that gutted their roster and their draft picks with the Paul Pierce stuff and Kevin Garnett. They found a way to be competently run, and Kevin Durant was like, okay, that seems like a place I want to play, as opposed to picking the Knicks.
Right.
So they were able to build some credibility. So you still have to be run well for guys to pick you.
Right, absolutely. All right, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5.
There's a lot of people who get themselves and their family in trouble by not having a generator. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is, have you ever had a I know I'm not the only guy who's done this. Hurricane. Well, it looks like there's a real disturbance in the Gulf right now. And, boy, Houston, buckle up. When we come back from this break, we'll tell you how this hurricane could be hitting Houston, and it could be a Category 5. And you're like, I don't have a generator. And then you get real nervous. Well, Generator Supercenter is right here in Houston, and they are going to be your store to get that Generac standalone automatic standby generator, right? So if you go to GeneratorSupercenter.com, you can check out everything that they have available. But they're the nation's number one Generac automatic standby generator in the entire country. And the reason's simple. People in Houston and the Gulf Coast, we need generators. And so many people don't have generators. And I'm finally getting one this year after sweating it every other year. And literally sweating it. When your power goes out in the summer, for any reason at all, blown transformer, tropical storm, hurricane, whatever the case may be, boom. How terrible is that to be in a house with no air conditioning? Make sure that you get peace of mind for you and for your entire family by getting to Generator Supercenter and checking them out for yourself. Generator Supercenter is where they have the Generac automatic standby generator. It's GeneratorSupercenter.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So my mock draft 1.0 is officially out. NFL draft, at NFL draft, which is the NFL.com's official draft Twitter, put it out there. Once it hits NFL.com, once the NFL account puts it out there, I am going to be dealing. These people don't like anything that
done. Do you have any comments yet?
Well, it's the worst that I've ever seen. Here's Blaze says, I would like to see an NFL lineman fight 20 jockeys.
I know,
any mock that doesn't have the Packers taking a quarterback is obviously worthless.
John Granato hates LeBron. Was he in Atlanta the other night? Is he really old, swole ass? No, that wasn't me.
This mock better than your brisket?
That's rude. That's a listener.
No,
I like some of these picks. I like his explanation for Pitts to the Bengals. Najee to the Bills is wild, although Ravens should prioritize O-line. I would take the number. So I gave Pitts, I've told you that.
Yeah.
Give a generational talent to a great offense or a potentially really good offense and just start smashing people and worry about your offensive line through free agency. In the draft next year. I mean, you don't pass over. If Lance goes over Fields, crying emoji, laughing emoji. A lot of people don't like that I have Justin Fields dropping a 15, but there are some. I don't think he's going to go as high as people think. I think Justin Fields is going to fall.
How many you got in front of him?
Three.
Trey Zach, Lance. Trey. Zach, and
Lawrence.
And Lawrence.
I think Trey. See, Trey is going to come off. Great. Trey Lance is one of the smartest quarterbacks in this draft from a football standpoint. He knows, like, he's old school in the sense that, oh, it's the same way with Carson Wentz. They are coached to learn all the protections, to call their own protections, they do their own cut-ups for red zone, for opponents' red zone, opponents' blitz packages. Like, they do just an incredible amount of work. And so what you have is quarterbacks who come into the league very ready. And Easton Stick was like that. He just didn't have the talent. But this kid, Trey Lance, is 6'4", 220-something, can run. He moves like Russell Wilson. Like, he's got some talent now, but he's got a little ways to go. When should I expect Darius Still showing up in the first round? You won't. Your mentions, prayers. Come on, where?
Come on, there's got to be something better. Well, they'll come along the way. I'm sure people will hate your mock draft.
Oh, that time of year where Lance Zierlein takes his torrent of online abuse from Walt.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. People say you peaked in 2017, Lance. 2021, 1.0, just the beginning. Thanks, Coach Middlescreen.
Coach Middlescreen. Let's get John in here on the HRMP listener line. What do you say, John?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Man, doing good, doing good. Been listening to y'all, God, 20 years.
That's awesome.
It's
awesome.
A little
Thanks,
brief man. Hiatus to crap 790. But anyway, I haven't heard, and maybe I'm wrong, but nobody's talking about the possibility of Deshaun in New England. You know, they don't seem to value picks in the draft very much. And I think they still have Cam Newton. And Bill Belichick, I think he won't admit it, but has learned a valuable lesson, and that is the quarterback is king, and he's just kind of there to serve you. You know, if this year is any indication of his coaching ability.
What do you think his fan base would think if they traded with New England, if they gave Deshaun to New England? After all, that this is New England South, all the people that have come from New England.
Nick Casario's Kev McHale. Remember when Kev McHale traded KG to the Celtics?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, this fan
right.
Base,
right.
This fan base ate up being, you know, Denver South, you know, years ago with Kubiak and Rick Smith and all that. And whoever that guy was, the consultant, quote unquote, you know, when the whole thing first started out. And
oh yeah. Remember Dan Reeves coming in? As the consultant?
Yeah, Dan Reeves.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Well, Denver South is one thing, but New England, the Patriots way and New England here is a sore subject. I just think they have to stay. I just think they have to stay away from that because anything that they get, it'll be scrutinized over and over. Like Kevin McHale giving KG to the Celtics. That would be much like that. That's a pretty good analogy.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was Al Jefferson, a promising young player, and maybe some picks or whatever. But, yeah, he traded the franchise cornerstone, who was not getting where he wanted to go, to his former club. A Celtic legend helped the Celtics win a title and started their run. They only won one, but he rejuvenated his entire former franchise.
Yeah.
If Nick Casario did that, you might as well just run his ass out of town.
No, I'm telling you. And then everybody will say, he's just going back there.
Yeah.
He's just going. Now he's just, watch. He'll play out this contract and head back to New England.
Get his old boss a favor.
And when Bill Belichick is gone, he'll be the general manager there, and he'll actually have power.
And he'll still have Deshaun.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that'll go well for this organization. All the crap that this organization has been going through for that on top of it, I don't know. Art is next. What say, Art?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Trash that Lance. What's going on, brother? Got two questions for you. One, what would be the repercussions if Deshaun decided to retire? I know he's going to lose 20-plus mil, but would that open him up if he decided to come back out of retirement a year later? Would he still be contractually bounded to the Texans, or would that open him up to the pre-trade, to the pre-market and as far as free agency?
No, he's still bound to the Texans.
Okay. Yeah. My second question is what the possibility with Breeze retiring and possibly moving some? I understand the cap space that the Saints are in right now, they're way over. But with the money saved for Breeze retiring and possibly moving some other guys out, potentially getting Deshaun going to New Orleans.
So I don't think New Orleans is crazy at all. I think Atlanta and New Orleans are both, should both be in play, honestly. I don't know if they're on Deshaun's magical list, but. I mean, to me, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm assuming the list is Pittsburgh, Atlanta. Well, I don't think necessarily Atlanta, but it should be Atlanta because Atlanta has some talent around them. And once again, you know, I may be overestimating because we do this every year about Atlanta's talent and all that stuff. And if they traded away a bunch of picks, they're probably not in position. But Saints could be. I mean, the Saints should 100% be on the list. 49ers on the list. Dolphins on the list. Steelers on the list. I don't know who else.
Vikings?
Huh. Are Vikings that far away from being a pretty good team?
No.
Danielle Hunter is going to come back.
No, they're...
Yeah. So, you mentioned Atlanta.
Do you think he wants to go and live in Minnesota?
Dalvin Cook, yeah. Justin Jefferson.
Quality of life.
Quality of life.
Well, yeah, if quality of life is... Well, quality of Deshaun's life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he would be super in love with Minnesota. I don't know much about it.
I don't
in
know.
In the summer, it's nice.
I don't know how a trade affects Atlanta's cap. Matt Ryan's dead cap is for 2021 is over. It's almost $50
million. Oh, yeah.
So what would a trade do to that? How does that
affect? Well, I don't know how that affects. You know what? When you're looking at SpotTrack, that's if he's released.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what is
yeah,
a trade.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Do? Yeah.
There's a big difference.
What does a trade do?
Because Deshaun is two. Deshaun is a stupid number.
And it goes down.
And then it goes down.
So we'd
trade.
Have to figure out, because Atlanta would have to, even if the Texans don't want him, you bring in Deshaun, they're going to have to deal Matt Ryan. They're not just going to outright release him. It will cost too much. So I don't know how much that would affect their cap, because they would have to make a couple moves to facilitate that trade. Now, unless the Texans want Matt Ryan.
Well, Matt Ryan feels like a flip this house. I mean,
Matt Ryan released before June 1st, traded before June 1st, 44.4.
Yeah.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Released,
gross.
49.9. So,
no, they can't do it.
No.
No, they can't do it.
That's why everyone's saying they're going to look for a quarterback. I just can't see it.
No.
I didn't give them a quarterback in the draft, and people were, Falcons fans were like, excuse me,
excuse
why
me.
Didn't we get a quarterback?
Excuse me.
Well, because yeah. You have a quarterback. Whether you like him or not, that's your business.
Yep. 8:55, let's get Eli in here. Let's talk about Lance's trash-ass mock draft. What do you say, Eli?
Hey, guys. Quick question for Lance. I saw you had the Cowboys take Penny Sewell at number 10. You think that's a lock or any chance they trade back for Zavian Collins? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Zaven Collins. That would be disappointing if you had to trade back for Zaven Collins, and then because he is a lot like I think he's a lesser version of Landon Leighton Vander Esch, but he's a very similar player to Leighton Vander Esch.
Sean Lee's gone now, though, right?
Yeah, you'd have two Leighton Vander Esches, but Leighton is you have to spend another pick on a guy because Leighton Vander Esch has had injury issues. No, I think if you look at the Cowboys. Penei Sewell can play tackle, and he can play guard. To me, he can play either one of those.
Well, you're kind of dropping, huh?
Yeah. See, I don't think his tape is definitely not better than Rashawn Slater's. There's nowhere you cannot find tape that's better than Rashawn Slater's for Penei Sewell. It just doesn't exist. And he didn't play this year. Now, Penei Sewell has some splashy plays. You'll see people put highlights out there where he obliterates people and like, holy crap. And he might be the fastest big man I've ever seen get out of a stance. Like, he's an amazing athlete, but he's not real strong. I've heard he's kind of babied at Oregon. They don't make him do a lot of things. Like, he sits out some practices here and there. I had a scout tell me that. He said it's very similar to Clowney at South Carolina, where, you know, that you're going to have to make sure that he is going to be coachable and that he is going to practice and do all that, you know, one of those things again.
Yeah.
So, and he's a guy that sat out all of this year, and he doesn't have a ton of starting experience. So, I think that, I think there's definitely, if Rashawn Slater had 34-inch arms, oh, he's a lock cinched to be the first tackle off the board. But he's got short arms. Like, he's a 33-inch arm guy. And so, but Penei Sewell to me, Tyron Smith's getting older, not as good. Frankly, you can do a lot better than Connor Williams. And this guy and Sewell can play right tackle if you worry about Lyle Collins and you want to move Lyle Collins inside to guard. So at some point, the Cowboys have to get back to running the ball effectively. Dak Prescott can't carry a team on his back. And Zeke Elliott, you gave him all that money. You got to start getting more out of Zeke. You got to block it up front. So that's why I put Penei Sewell there if he falls to 10. Now, there's a decent chance he might not fall to 10, But in my first mock, I like to play it the way that I kind of have guys
he was
graded.
Second and third in a lot of mocks early on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that happens. I mean, you'll get a lot of people who don't watch all the tape will just, but you're going to start to see him fall a little bit. Now.
Did the week in Mobile hurt Alex Leatherwood?
Yeah. I already thought he was, I mean, I've got a third round grade on him, and a lot of people had him higher, and people, once they saw him at Senior Bowl, there's some issues. Now, he told people he would not go to the Senior Bowl unless he only played tackle. And a lot of people in the NFL see him as a guard. Leatherwood does not have great strength on his outside, and he had some issues protecting the quarterback in the one-on-one drills. So I think Leatherwood, Leatherwood to me is more talented than, or he's more, a little more polished than Austin Jackson, but Jackson, who your guys drafted, had more upside. Like, he's a great athlete. And there was other, he was given, bone marrow transplant stuff. He didn't get a workout in the offseason. Yeah. There was a lot of situations where he might not have been as physically strong as he needed to be during the season. But I think Leatherwood goes in the second round, ultimately, from Alabama. I got a lot of offensive linemen going, though. Jenkins, your guy, that dude can play from Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. He's good. Got Jenkins going. Elijah Vera Tucker from USC going as a tackle. And this is the only year he played tackle. He'd been a guard. And we saw his tackle tape. And like, NFL teams I talked to are like, oh, my God. No one knew this guy could play tackle. Holy crap.
That's good. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to trash Lance's mock draft, you're more than welcome to get in.
Or praise.
Well, whatever.
That guy told me this was just like driving.
Neat stuff there, too.
This guy said when he scrolled down my mock, it was a lot like when you drive past a crash site. Is what he compared it to.
God. That's disrespectful.
I love that one guy.
I retweeted. I'm like, all right.
I like that. That's pretty good. Time to talk about Chastain Ford right now. Those are my peeps over there. I honestly, there can't be nicer people between Patrick and Joe and Allie and Justin. And I mean, just on and on and on and on. Just wonderful people that you're going to be dealing with that are going to work their tails off to put you in that vehicle that is perfect for you. And it's perfect what you want. Not the add-ons that other dealerships are going to try to force on you. They don't do that at Chastain Ford. And that keeps you got to have this. You got to have this bedliner. You got to do that. No, I really don't. So I don't want all that stuff. So don't try not to force that on me. And they don't do that at Chastain Ford. And in stock, the 2021 Ford F-150, it's unbelievable. The nicest truck I've ever been in. 2021 Ford Bronco Sports, they got them in stock. You aren't going to find them at other Ford dealerships. 2020 EcoSports starts at $14,999. People, this is a great starter car. And they got $10,000 off on all remaining Explorers and F-150 XLT crew cab. So you're looking for that vehicle. This is the perfect time to buy at the beginning of the year because they got to get those other ones off the lot. It's Chastain Ford. ChastainFord.com. You can shop online at home or at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead. It's Chastain Ford.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.